We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You want to go ahead and do rapid fire?
Hey, right, man. Now? I'm always ready to dive into rapid fire, baby.
I'm going to lead with a little bit longer question for rapid fire tonight than we usually do. But this is also, you know, like I was talking about Super Freak up top. And, like, have you been watching on social media, you know, lately, the Edwin Diaz, the New York Mets closer? Have you seen any of the videos where they've got him coming out, you know, with his entrance song, his walk-up song?
That's
called Narco by Blaster Jax and Timmy Trumpet. And you remember, for a year, when we did Rapid Fire on my old radio show,
that was our song,
the Edwin Diaz walk-up song. That was our song. And it's like, I'm seeing all this. They're tweeting all this stuff in the videos, and I'm listening. And it just hurts my heart, Vince. It hurts me so much that we can't use that song anymore, because it's such a fun song. It, like, you know, got us bouncing around and got us hyped up.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I did see the video on Twitter or wherever, and I was like, man, that's a great song. Where have I heard that song before?
You couldn't even remember?
That was the rapid fire. Like, it's just so ingrained in my head. I remember standing there and I'd be like, da, 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 da. Oh yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
So, that's right. That's right. So I'm, you know, my heart is hurting for Narco by Blaster Jackson and Timmy Trumpet. But anyway, it's rapid fire time. So a Twitter account called Big Game Boomer puts out various rankings that are college football related. Now, you know, look, you know, again, you probably take a lot of them with a grain of salt, but, you know, whoever this is, they're putting out, you know, all these different college football rankings.
Huh? This guy loves his lists.
He does.
He is all about the lists.
He does. And so he's got a list. His latest list is a ranking of the top offensive and defensive coordinator combos in the nation. Notre Dame's Tommy Rees and Al Golden combo comes in 10th. Here's the top 10. Ohio State, Kevin Wilson, Jim Knowles. The offensive coordinator comes first, by the way. Number 2, Baylor, Jeff Grimes, Ron Roberts. Number 3, Georgia, Todd Monken, Will Muschamp. Number 4, Josh Gattis, Kevin Steele. Number 5, Arkansas. That was Miami. Arkansas is number 5, Kendall Briles, Barry Odom. Number 6, NC State, Tim Beck, Tony Gibson. Number 7, Bill O'Brien, Pete Golding from Alabama. Number 8, Mark Whipple, Eric Shenander from Nebraska. Number 9, North Carolina, Phil Longo, Gene Chizik, and then Rees Golden is number 10. So you look at the list. Are Golden and Rees, are they too high? Are they too low? Are they just about right? What do you think?
They're both kind of unproven, is my point. And Tommy Rees has been there. He's been in the position for a few years, obviously, and he's gotten better and better every year. But this is the first year he's kind of doing it himself. And I don't think anybody can debate that. This is going to be a very telling year for Tommy Rees as offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Al Golden hasn't been a defensive coordinator since I was in college. So, it's been a long time that he's been calling the plays, right? I think it was 2005 or 2006 or, you know, either way, it's been a long time, okay? And so I'm okay with them I'm okay with them having them at 10 for now, but I feel like they're going to rise up the ranks, especially when you look at some of the people that they have above them. I think are a little nutty. Like, really, we're going to put Nebraska ahead of Notre Dame. We're going to put
one of a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Jim Knowles belongs in the number one spot. He has never been a defensive coordinator at Ohio State before. He was good at Oklahoma State. Don't get me wrong. Notre Dame had no problem scoring on him. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So, and Kevin Wilson, yes, he's the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He's not running the offense
in there. Yeah.
You know, that's true too. So I guess I have a little bit of a problem with Ohio State being number one because one guy's new and the other guy doesn't call the plays.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, so yeah, I've got an issue with some of the people ahead of them. If you would have told me, hey, where do you think they should rank? I'd be like, yeah, about 10. I think that's about right. But some of the people that are above them, I'm like, well, they probably should bump up a little bit.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of, you know, and I guess, you know, it's Ohio State, so I don't have a horrible problem. You know, like you said, Knowles hasn't been at Ohio State before, but at least he's been a defensive coordinator for a while and had some success at Oklahoma State. You know, like the Baylor guys haven't been around for that long. Georgia, you know, Munkin, you know, helped them obviously win a national championship. Now they got Muschamp coming back, you know, and they're, again, like, this is a guy who's predominantly been a head coach for a while. Sure. Miami is another head scratcher to me because, okay, now you're putting this staff together. They haven't done anything yet. You know, like Josh Gattis, solid run at Michigan, but he wasn't Miami's first choice. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Steele is another guy who's, you know, he's bounced around. This is his sixth school in the last 10 years now, you know? Wow. So I've got no problem with Arkansas. Pittman, you know, Sam Pittman, the head coach, and Browse and Odom have been there with him so far, and that turnaround that they've done, you know, so I think they've kind of proven it so far. The NC State guys being up, you know, high, and the North Carolina guys being that high. Like, what have any of those guys done? You know, Longo did well as offensive coordinator, but you know, let's see what he does without Sam Howell now.
Right, and exactly.
You know, like Gene Chizik is his coordinator. He hasn't coached at all for 6 years. The last time he did coach, he was fired at North Carolina by Larry Fedora. And so you're putting them up there, you know, at number eight. And then I completely agree with Nebraska has no business being on this list. They hired the Pitt offensive coordinator. And, you know, Whipple, you know, their defense is actually halfway decent. You know, they bring in the Pitt coordinator because of the fact that the offense, you know, has been so inconsistent and, you know, just at times flat out bad. So I'm surprised that they're at number nine. Again, you know,
Nebraska staff is this close from getting fired. And yes. Yet they're top 10. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. No.
So you pick it apart, you know, but like, just like you said, Al Golden's got his own questions. So just the fact that they've got, you know, Reese and Golden there at number 10 is like, maybe, you know, who knows?
Right. So, like I said, if you would have told me, I'd be like, yeah, they're about 10. I'm okay with that. But then you look at the actual list and it's like, okay, well, maybe they're more like 7 or 6, right. You know, I wouldn't have any problem with that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, so earlier in the show, we were talking about the freaks list. So here's a question for you. Fill in the blank. The most special player on Notre Dame's roster is blank.
This is a tough one because there's a lot of different directions that you could go. And I've been all over the place with this one. I'm going to go with Michael Mayer. And I know we've kind of beat that horse to death, but he's that good. I really think he transcends the position, and he could lead the team in receptions and yards as a tight end. And they've got some pretty talented wide receivers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like because he's versatile, you could split him out. You could put him on the line. He can literally go up against any defensive back or linebacker that you're going to put on him. And he's still going to catch the ball. I mean, when in doubt, throw it to 87. I've got to go with Michael Mayer.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think there's any way that you can deny that because of, you know, just like look at how last season played out, and he had the groin injury. He played through it. You know, he was still out there and still put up amazing numbers. And, you know, again, for a tight end who doesn't necessarily have like the Tyler Eifert body type, you know, like a little longer and sleek and all that, to be up there at the top of, you know, of the team in terms of receiving production, right up there with Kevin Austin, you know, I think that shows you something, and he's going to be right up there again, and teams are going to have to figure out how to deal with him. And there's going to be so many adjustments for both sides that are all going to revolve around Michael Mayer. Like,
right, absolutely.
When you're playing Notre Dame, your first task is to figure out where 87 is and what you're going to do to defend him, to try to take him away. And it's going to be up to Notre Dame, obviously, to prove that they can do other things besides just get him the football.
Yeah, absolutely. As if he hasn't broken out already, he's going to have an amazing season, because there was some people in the chat that were talking about how he was underused in the past. I actually think that's accurate. I think he was underused to a degree. And, with the way that they're going to run this offense with RPOs, they're going to be RPO heavy and, you know, all of that different stuff. I really think that you're going to have some options to throw the ball to Michael Mayer in that triple and quadruple RPO option type thing. So he's going to get opportunities, and he's going to get one-on-one opportunities that are he's going to take massive advantage of. And I think he's going to be Tyler Buchner's best friend, frankly, when it's all said and done. Yeah. So he's going to put up numbers. And if he doesn't win the Mackey Award, I don't even know what to say.
Even having the award? Why do you have the award?
Right. The fact that he wasn't even a finalist last year was a crime against humanity. I don't understand that at all. But if he doesn't win it this year, oh my gosh, we'll go pick it wherever the Mackey Award, headquarters are.
Tyler says the Blake groupie disrespect is real. You talk about an athletic specimen.
Yeah. I mean, it is rare that I've looked a football player at Notre Dame in the eye. I can do that.
I think the underutilized thing is correct. I think sometimes you can outsmart yourself a little bit, and you just got to feed the beast.
Absolutely.
This year.
It's like when you have that dominant down low guy, right? Sometimes it's not pretty. It may not be flashy, but he's going to score for every single time. Get him the rock on the block and watch him go to work. It's the same situation for me. Just get him the ball. He's going to catch it. You're going to move the chains, and it's going to be great.
I agree. Okay, fill in the blank. HBO's Hard Knocks with the Detroit Lions debuted last night, and one of the highlights of the show was head coach Dan Campbell doing up-downs with the defense, and that's blank.
Refreshing, to be honest with you. I think that's refreshing. I know it's the NFL. I know that it's a job. I know that it's a business. You treat these guys differently. Almost everybody on the team is making more money than the head coach. I should say the superstars are making more money than the head coach, which is a weird dynamic all by itself. But the fact that he's willing to get in there and he's trying to, what he's doing is he's trying to form relationships with these guys. He's trying to show that he's not better than them. You know what? I love it. That's refreshing to me. Coaching is all about relationships, and the NFL is very quickly going to the CEO route. You know what I mean? Where it's just kind of sending out signals and doing things and whatever. Right. I love the relationship piece. That's what coaching's all about to me. And he's trying to develop those relationships with his players. I love it. It's refreshing.
And he didn't just do a handful of up downs. I sat there and counted every single, and I think they actually ended up like someone was counting on microphone as well. They did 40 in probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 40 up down.
Love it.
And the head coach, now obviously he's a former player, and like you look at the guns on Dan Campbell, he's in pretty good shape himself. But he actually had his wrist taped because he was talking afterwards about how like he tripped over his dogs coming down the stairs at his house and he hurt his wrist. And so he had his wrist taped so he could do it. And, you know, I just think, you know, it's the Detroit Lions are a long suffering program. And I'm not saying this to be mean, but
it is what it is, man.
I've said it before, is like, you deserve a medal if you're a Detroit Lions fan and you've been a Detroit Lions fan for a long time, because there has just not been much there. And he's obviously trying to build buy-in and all that kind of stuff. And to watch the head coach, you know, like, could you have imagined Jimmy Johnson ever doing, you know, he couldn't do four up downs.
He'd mess up his hair.
Especially back when he was coaching.
Yeah.
You know, or like, could you even imagine Lou Holtz doing the up downs for that matter? You know, now Marcus Freeman, I could see Marcus Freeman doing the up.
He could and probably would. I mean,
I could see just about maybe anybody but Harry, you know, on the staff doing the up downs. Harry's like, oh, I got no time for that, you know.
So yeah, a few other choice words. Yeah.
That's right. But yeah, I think it's awesome. And you know, the fact that he was out there doing it right away, it's like the first day of practice.
Yeah,
defense is out there and they're like, okay, up downs. And it's like, boom, here's the head coach, turned his hat around backwards, did 40 of them. Like that's I said, impressive. About a minute and a half, 2 minutes. It was very impressive. He wasn't even breathing that hard afterwards for that matter. So
I would be.
Yeah, me too. Okay. So I heard a podcast host say that he thinks they were talking about Vin Scully and, you know, like some of the big moments, you know, Vin Scully had and stuff like that. He was saying he thinks that most play-by-play and game analysts would preferably know the outcome of the big plays, you know, or moments in advance of them happening, because then they could be better prepared for those moments. And so now, Vince, you and I have called a lot of games together. Do you buy or sell that?
There are very few questions that you have asked me where it was an instant answer in my head. Okay. This is an instant sell for me, because the whole romance of the play-by-play. Okay. And I know that may be a cheesy word to use, but to me, it's an art. It's an play-by-play is an art, and it's all about the emotion of the moment. Okay. You can, and I don't know if you did this or not, because you called the national championship game with the women. And if they won the game, they win the national championship. If they lose, they don't. So you probably thought about what you were going to say ahead of time if they happened to win. But big plays in the moment, like, that's the best part of play-by-play. It's the in-the-moment emotion and the call, all of that. If you knew about it ahead of time, it would be so fake and it would be so rehearsed that I don't think that it would be any good. It's a huge sell for me. I hate it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I know that, you know, there are some play-by-play announcers who, you know, kind of jot down a few things, like, if I get to this moment, you know, this is, you know, these are some, I've heard that. I've never even thought about, you know, like, if this happens, here's what I'm going to say. None of that kind of stuff. Everything that I've ever done as a play-by-play announcer has been completely spontaneous, and it's all like free flow. And it's just, to me, you know, as a play-by-play announcer, one of the big, not challenges, well, it can be a challenge, I guess, for some people, but one of the criteria that you have to meet is, how do you meet the moment?
Yes.
And I don't think you can meet the moment if it's not spontaneous, because then it comes out just sounding, you know, cheesy or, you know, and I know Joe Buck has been accused of some of those things before, you know, because, you know, basically everybody loves to hate Joe Buck, but at the same, you know, I think most of his have actually been spontaneous as well. And it's, you know, again, you know, like the national championship or, you know, like any of the big baseball calls from back in the day, everything has just been see it and say it. And, you know, whatever pops into my tiny brain, that is what ends up coming out. And that to me is the fun of it, you know, like, because again, if I would have tried to plan out some of that stuff or have it written down or, you know, like talk shows and stuff like that are different. You know, you've got your notes and you know, even game, you know, game notes, you know, as you're going along. But in terms of what actually happens on the field, I would never want to know what's going to happen, because I think that that's when you end up stumbling over your tongue and stuff like that, because then you're, you know, again, it's like, it's kind of like what we've been talking about this week with, you know, like mechanics and things like that. If you're thinking about it, it can't be natural.
Right.
You know, that's what it comes down to.
And one of the best parts about doing radio or play-by-play, color, you know, doing it with you and all of this different stuff is, number one, you and I are sports fans.
Right.
And one of the best things about sports is you don't know what's going to happen.
That's exactly right.
You don't play the game on paper. You got to play the game. And I don't know what's going to happen. And we're right there going right along with the ride, you know, on the ride with the listener. And I think that's the best part about it, is we don't know what's going to happen. And we're going to tell you what happened. We're going to tell you what we see, and we're going to get excited with you, or we're going to be depressed with you or whatever. I think that's some of the best part about doing radio, is we're all on the same ride. And if you know what's coming, that's just, I'm sorry, that's no good. It's no fun.
Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. Fill in the blank. It's blank that Costco is selling pairs of football tickets for schools like South Carolina and Rutgers.
Oh, it's probably sad for those institutions, but at the same time, you know what? If I am a fan of those schools, or I am a player at those schools, I don't care how you get butts in the seats. I want people to watch me play, and I want people to come support me. So whatever you got to do to get them in the stands to cheer for my team, I am all for it. We all love Costco. We're all there, and we're all impulse shoppers when we're there. And maybe there's a South Carolina fan and a Rutgers fan.
Football tickets.
You want to take it a game? Okay, let's go. And you grab it, and you throw it in, you get your card, and you go.
You're going to go to Costco in New Jersey, and, like, you walk down one of those aisles, and, you know, like, I saw some pictures of these. You know, they've got, like, the card, and, like, you pull out one of these cards, and on it says, you know, two lower level sideline tickets, $99, a 38% savings per placard. Or I go to South Carolina, it says two upper level tickets for $89. I mean, you know, like, you look at that alone, two lower level sideline tickets for $99. I mean, you know, attendance has been down in college football,
right?
You know, across the board. And so I kind of give it to these schools for maybe thinking outside the box a little bit. It looks odd to think that you can go to Costco and, you know, pluck a placard off the shelf over there and then go ring up a couple of tickets at the front register.
Placard.
But you got to do what you got to do. You know, like you said, you got to get butts in the seats.
Yeah.
And at least they're thinking outside the box a little bit to try to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, whatever you got to do to get people in the stadium to watch a game, you go ahead and do it. And this is a new time. This is a new generation of people. Some people aren't going to go out of their way to go buy tickets, and it might actually be just an impulse purchase. I don't think people are – maybe there are people like this, but I don't know if people are going to be like, you know where, I can go get some tickets. I'm going to Costco. I think it's more like, hey, there's a really good deal on tickets. Let's go. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's all these impulse buys to begin with.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so you're rolling into Costco, and, you know, like if Costco, if you rolled in here – in town and it was like, you know, Notre Dame Marshall tickets or whatever, you know.
Hey, I doubt that they're going to sell out Marshall at the ticket prices that I've seen. They could do worse.
I'd be giving it a shot. I think it's worth a shot. You know, Marshall, UNLV, whatever it happens to be.
Absolutely.
The Western Michigan game, you know, there's, again, do you want to sell it or not?
Let's get those rowdy fans, you know. Let's get those Costco, you know, buyers in there, man.
it's amazing. Like, looking now, again, you know, you've still got COVID, so there are some other factors as well. But like, that sellout streak wasn't that long ago, you know, like, right, when that sellout streak ended, and now you've got, you know, patches all over the stadium that need to be filled. So
yeah, it was actually pretty bad last year. And again, you can blame some of that on COVID, and I totally understand that. But there were plenty of games that we went to where we looked out at game time and there were a lot of empty mm-hmm. seats. And that's just not, you know, I've been going to games since 2004, and that's just not something that you saw, you know, from the press box view. And it was a little disheartening, to be honest with you.
You know, what's Brian makes a good point in the chat. Brian J. Irish, I hope we see more green than orange when Clemson visits. I'm getting tired of seeing so many visitor fans in the stands. You know, the last time Clemson came here, it was an empty stadium for the most part.
Just friends and family, or, you know, family were in the stands, but that's it.
Yeah. Drunk Vigo. Do you need 5 kayaks?
Troll Hunter says, I just bought my 5th kayak at Costco. It's a great conversation going on.
Nice.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, the Chicago Cubs have announced Jason Hayward will not be back with the team next season. Vince, they're going to release him in the offseason with 1 year, $22 million left on his contract. You're a Cubs fan. Do you buy or sell the move?
Look, I never understood the vitriol that Jason Hayward received from fans at times. The bottom line is, and I realize it's an albatross of a contract. I get that. Totally. They should not have paid what they paid to get him to come in. But, and here's the big but in this one, they don't win the World Series without Jason Hayward.
It's true.
And I am not willing to give back that World Series in 2016. And so if I'm not willing to give that back, then I'm not willing to be upset about Jason Hayward being with the Cubs. Okay? Now, with that said, I don't really have an issue with him letting him go. I realize they're going to be on the hook for a year's worth of salary. I hope that they go out and, you know, get a competent replacement and all of those things that you, if you're a Cubs fan, you're hoping has or will happen here in the very near future, that they build up the roster again and all of those things. So I don't really have an issue. I mean, he's played out his usefulness to the team, and mm-hmm. I get that. It's a business, so I don't really have a problem with that. I've just never understood everybody's hatred toward him. I've never had an issue. I think he's a great leader. Did he live up to his contract on the field? Probably not. But, you know, again, you don't have the World Series without him. So you can consider me a Jay Hay fan.
No, I mean, that's fair. You know, he was a contributor to the World Series team, and he gave the famous speech during the rain delay and all that stuff, and they go on to come back to beat Cleveland and win the World Series. Those are all true statements. It's just like Jason Hayward and his unwieldy contract have been in Chicago so long. He was there at the beginning of the first buildup, you know, along with Rizzo and Bryant and Baez and all those young guys coming up. And now that same contract, he is still there for the teardown.
He's been there a long time.
That's right. And they're getting rid of him so they can build it back up once again, so they can make, you know, way for these prospects and all this stuff. And it's, you know, I get what you're saying to a point, because, you know, just do the ends justify the means? Well, they won the World Series. That's all you want. They broke, you know, the drought and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if you're not stuck with Jason Hayward and his $22 to $25 million a year for the last 4 years, maybe you're able to keep Rizzo and or Bryant, you know, and or, but, you know, you probably are able to keep a couple of those guys around, and maybe you're not in a complete teardown mode right now. But at the same time, you know, this is something that I was thinking about earlier in the season. Like, if he doesn't start producing and you've got all these prospects that you want to bring up, do you just say, hey, we're going to eat $22 million and come what may, you know, Jason, it's been great having you, but we've got to bring these prospects up. And that's what they ultimately are doing. And he's still going to get paid. He's going to get all that money still, and he's going to have a chance to go play someplace else. You know, he'll make a lot less money, obviously, on the next contract. But, you know, you're right. He's a great locker room guy, great team guy. He's done all – he's done basically everything but perform at an elite level as an offensive player.
Right. Absolutely. And, of course, look, of course I wanted more on the field from him.
Stymie. Kyle Schwarber. Yeah, they could have.
He's still doing things, man. The other guys that kind of gone away or that they've traded away and all that, you haven't really heard from them, have you? Just saying.
Yeah. Rizzo is about the only one.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's contributing, obviously, for the Yankees, who are having an amazing year. He has another chance to get a ring. But Javi Baez up in Detroit, I think he's been injury prone. He's still terrible at the plate. Haven't heard anything from Chris Bryant.
You hear nothing.
Not on the mountain time, so I'm not going to hear a whole lot about him, but he's, you know, wasn't an all-star. I know that. We'll see what happens here moving forward with the Cubs, but I don't have an issue with them getting rid of Jay Hay, unfortunately.
All right. Well, thanks again for sticking with us tonight. We had the technical difficulties at the beginning of the show and appreciate you stopping by and jumping in. A lot of spirit in the old YouTube chat going on tonight, Vince. They're not arguing, but debating about a lot of different things. So it's been a lot of fun kind of watching that. Again, we're back at Notre Dame tomorrow morning, and then we'll be talking with Harry Hiestand and the offensive line, some of the offensive linemen anyway, afterwards, and then Al Washington and the defensive line Friday, then a Marcus Freeman press conference over the weekend. So we've got more stuff, as always, as training camp tomorrow wraps up week number one. Seventh day of camp tomorrow. All right, Vince, thanks as always.
You bet. I'll
talk to you soon.
Yes, Monday.
Don't forget, hit that like button, rate, subscribe, review, all that good stuff. It helps out the Average Breakdown platform. We will talk to you tomorrow. IB Nation Sports Talk. We'll be back with you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.